This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
Pew, pew, pew. That's what I would normally do when I play video games, violent video games. Yeah. Has video games in any way affected your behavior? You're listening to Enterprise Biz Bytes with me, Jeff Sandhu, together with...
Audrey Raj.
Arvind Raj.
And on WhatsApp, we have a number ending 8336 says, he's a hardcore gamer, played World of Warcraft for 6 years. The game was my platform to practice human management, resource management, priorities, time management. Arf, you're mm-hmm, with there. Mm-hmm. Detail observation and math. It's a war game. Yes, but I learn more practical stuff than inciting me to be violent. A number ending 7974 says, played a lot of SimCity in the 90s and 20-30 years on, I'm still not a mayor. So I'm with you on that.
Yep.
I'm still not a mayor. I played a lot of The Sims and I'm still not God. So you know.
I played Theme Hospital. I'm not a doctor.
I played Roller Coaster Tycoon and I don't own a theme park. We could go on and on and on. Melissa Tian says, well, if you want an example of something positive coming from PC video games, one of my favorite games was called Echo Quest by Sierra, and it taught me about the consequences of pollution.
Wow.
There you go.
Agreeing really video game.
And Christine's agreeing with that. Walter says, I learned a lot of English from games.
Also true.
Also very
communication.
True. Communication. Number 2184 says, gamers are more concerned of DLC or the next sequel than thinking of actual violent act. I totally agree with that because games now are becoming really expensive.
Yeah.
And, you know, it's the DLC packs that will kill you, literally.
The most violent things video gamers do, I think, is go complain on like Reddit or some forum somewhere, like all in caps, you know, like, oh, I hate this DLC. And that's it.
This is rubbish, you know, and they'll blame some developer, publisher, and like, you know, you are stealing my money and so on and so forth.
Yeah.
Something that's a little bit more serious though. Last night there was a story about WhatsApp.
Yeah. So they have, this is a new flaw. It's not actually a new flaw. It's a new flaw that was found out by a tool that was released by Checkpoint. Checkpoint is a cybersecurity firm or company. WhatsApp has a new flaw in its system that lets people exploit quoted messages. So not your messages directly, but messages that are quoted from you that someone wants to forward to, you know, their contacts and stuff. They can alter it. The tool can alter it, can change the person's name and message and make it look like the person said something that they never did, which is, you know, it's scary on so many levels.
Yeah,
so
yeah.
You could get a quotation or like a quote from someone else and you could think they said it, but it could be an altered message. So if someone is, let's say, Odds, you send something to person B, this tool makes it look like you quoted something else entirely. They can change every single letter in your message to make it look like you said something that you never said.
But usually when you forward something like that on WhatsApp, it doesn't come with the person who said it, right?
No. So that means they can sort of alter, you know, when you get like quotes where you have the timestamp and the day,
right?
When they copy those kinds of messages, they can alter that, or the tool can alter that. And it can just, you know, show up with random names or random senders or random times.
So this is a tool.
It's a tool.
Not within WhatsApp.
Not within WhatsApp.
It's a tool that can enable this on WhatsApp.
On WhatsApp. And the tool was designed by the cybersecurity company. It was, I think, headed by researcher Odette Vanunu. And so he spoke to the BBC and said that the tool made it possible for malicious actors to manipulate conversations on the platform. So
it's like a white hacker then who just...
It's a white hacker. Mm. And they showcased it at Black Hat, which is, I think, their annual
conference.
Yeah,
that's the
conference.
Cybersecurity conference. Mm, yeah. Mm.
So he said, obviously, the danger is more disinformation, fraud. You can commit fraud, exploitation, and people misquoting important messages, saying that, you know, maybe this politician said this, which they, you know, they wouldn't have said before. The important thing to take note of is that this tool is part of the research by the cybersecurity company. They made it to demonstrate flaws in WhatsApp systems. Cyber companies do this often, or they do this like regularly just to see if everything is secure. So it's not out there yet. It's something made by them specifically. The same thing happened when they highlighted the flaw that could trick users into believing they were sending a private message to one person when their reply actually went to a public group.
Whoa.
So that sounds like an even bigger nightmare. And Facebook quickly fixed that issue. They found out they knew what the flaw was. They knew what the sort of down in their system was, and then they patched it up. This one they say they can't patch because of WhatsApp's encryption. So they sort of nudge Facebook, and when, you know, you have this issue in your system, what are you going to do about it? Facebook said, we can't do anything because your messages are encrypted. If we wanted to detect and monitor all messages that are going in and out or the use of this tool, we would have to decrypt your messages, which means that we will have to find out the source of the message, which means Facebook, I mean, which means WhatsApp would be less private.
But that's a little bit weird. Like, you know, it's can't they find, like, you know, a way to not let apps utilize, you know, WhatsApp services? I'm sure there, you know, because from what my understanding of how apps are developed is just you have many doors, right? And certain doors are more vulnerable than the other. And I'm sure that a way to fight this is not only through one door, which is the encryption, which is trying to mask your message. So, you know, when it sends out to the cloud, it's just in ones and zeros instead of plain text. So I'm sure if that's not the option that, you know, it's available to them, I'm sure there are many other doors that perhaps, you know, Facebook
they
would
can
be
look
able
at.
To yeah,
well,
can look at.
Well, Facebook is going to have to find
this is serious.
A door for this, right? Because if you think about it, this is actually good news. Like, someone's actually, you know, warned Facebook
unsung
that this
hero
is
of the internet. Yeah.
Yes, you know, this has the potential to happen, and now they can do something, but they're going to have to, because, you know, now that this is out there, someone's going to try and replicate it to do just that.
Yeah, but Facebook doesn't see this as a problem. They are saying that this is the same as, you know, when you have like email threads, so you can modify someone else's email threads when you send it. You know, it doesn't have to be the person saying certain things in the email. If you are not a responsible person and you want to change the dialogue of the person, you can go back in your email threads, change it, and then forward it. And they say this is exactly the same thing. You just modifying quotes that you want to forward. It's not necessarily a security issue in their mind. So they're saying that if you want 100% encryption, you cannot have 100% security.
I kind of disagree with that because I think, you know, emails is not as impactful as instant messaging like WhatsApp and stuff. WhatsApp has billions of users. Email has like maybe a fraction of it. Granted, there are more, you know, people who probably use emails than like sending letters and stuff. Mm-hmm. And that was like a whole revolution change. But instant messaging is what it is. Instant messaging.
Yeah, on the spot.
It's quick. It's on the spot. And people fall for it. We've seen victims in India and in the US and
Brazil.
Yeah. Brazil, yeah.
And all new businesses today are doing everything via chat. You know, nobody's really doing things via email anymore. So this is going to have a profound impact, especially with now Facebook talking about merging, you know, their instant messenger together with WhatsApp and Facebook Messenger. So this is going to have consequences if they don't look at it.
Yeah.
The BBC even asked the Checkpoint guys why they did it in the first place. And the head of their team, I think Banunu, said WhatsApp serves 30% of the global population. So it's our responsibility. There is a big problem with fake news and manipulation. Its infrastructure serves more than 1.5 billion users. So we cannot put it aside and say, okay, it's not happening.
Keep the fight on, and kudos to those, you know, guys who made it. And
Checkpoint, kudos
to them. Also, if you, I really highly recommend, since it's the long weekend, I just completed it, and it's you know, it's stuff that if you've been listening to Tech Talk and stuff, you probably already know. If you listen to Matt, you probably already know. But watch The Great Hack on Netflix. It is absolutely fascinating, and insight of the basic understanding of what happens to your data when it's led by these monopolies, the Facebooks of the world. So anyways, thank you all for your feedback on the question that we had is, do video games have any effect in any way of your behavior? Thank you all for your messages and your replies and your Insta stories and tweets. And then we also talked about...
We talked about, you know, the VAR coming to the Premier League. It all kicks off tomorrow morning, 3 a.m. early match, Liverpool versus Norwich City. And of course, you know, enjoy the football over the weekend as well. The Premiership is back, people!
Yes!
Yeah!
Come on, Liverpool.
And we finished with how new WhatsApp flop puts words in people's mouths.
Amazing. At 1 p.m., we have the Breakfast Grill replay. Tan Sri, Dr. Kamal Saleh, he's the chairman of the Malaysian Institute of Economic Research, or MIER, tasked to help the government assess the feasibility of ambitious projects like electric vehicles and the Hyperloop. MIER is also planning to publish its Genuine Prosperity Index and also the Cost of Living Indicator by year end. So, the morning run discuss with MIER's efforts in assessing the nation's progress and his thoughts on moving Malaysia forwards. This has been the Enterprise Biz Bytes. My name is Jeff Sandhu, together with Arvind Yuvaraj and Audrey Raj. If you miss any parts of this show, you can download the podcast. It's available on bfm.my or get the BFM app. This has been Enterprise Biz Bytes, BFM 89.9, the business station.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, the business station.